time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Hey, it is Wednesday, and you know what time it is. It's time for Pastor Adam's podcast, devotional, whatever you want to call it. Today's topic, it's not something you probably normally would hear on a podcast, I would say. I was watching some YouTube videos and doing some research and found this study that was talking about giving in the church, and in this movie coming out called the Religious Business, I think it's called. And it's got me going down this rabbit trail where, so today we're going to talk about tithing. I know it's crazy. If you guys want to tithe to the pastor, no, I'm just kidding. But I think it's something we all need to hear as Christians. Maybe it'll give you a little bit more insight into what this tithing thing is and why it's kind of going downhill and how we need to make changes, all that sorts of thing. So let's talk about, you know, the biblical foundation of tithing. Tithing is not just, you know, some financial transaction. It's actually an act of worship, act of trust, act of obedience. And from the earliest days of Scripture, we kind of see that concept of tithe introduced as a sign of devotion or gratitude to God. And we could start right in Genesis 14:20. We read, "And praise be to the God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything." Now, when it says gave him a tenth of everything, who is that, right? Abram gives a tenth of everything to Melchizedek, who is a priest of the God Most High. And so this act of giving that precedes the law of Moses and sets a precedent that God's people would later, you know, formalize, make part of the law. The law of Moses commanded a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Leviticus 27:30 says the tithe was a sacred portion, a recognition that all provision comes from God. Malachi 3:10 challenges God's people to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and includes an extraordinary promise. And it says, "Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven." Tithing is also reinforced in the New Testament, but not as like a rigid requirement, but as a reflection of the heart. Jesus, while rebuking the Pharisees for their legalism, still affirmed the importance of tithing. And he said, "You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former," in Matthew 23:23. And then Paul expands on this, urging believers to give generously, willingly, and cheerfully in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Biblical giving is meant to be joyful, sacrificial, and proportional to what we have received. So with all that being said, there's a problem. There's declining tithing in the church. So despite the biblical mandate and spiritual blessings connected to giving, the statistics, the ones that I've come across, paint a very different picture of tithing in the modern church. According to recent studies, and there's this company called Vanco that is a church, school, nonprofit, obviously a church payment solution company, right? So they did a study and they said that only 5% of churchgoers nationwide tithe. And then additionally, New York Times reported that between 1990 and 2015, so this is 10 years ago, the share of total charitable donations going to faith-based organizations dropped by 50%. Another study done by ShareFaith said that out of the 247 million U.S. citizens, you know, identifying as Christians, only 1.5 million people tithe. That's crazy. These numbers don't they reflect not just the, you know, the economic trends, but if we're honest with ourselves, it's a deeper spiritual challenge that we have in front of us. So let's ask the question, why is giving decreasing? Why is the giving gone down so much? I think that there's probably a bunch of factors that may be at play. So I came up with four of them. So number one, I think the most important one, there's a lack of teaching or understanding about what biblical giving really is. Many churches kind of, I think they avoid preaching on money due to fear to sounding greedy, manipulative, like they're just out for money. And I think that we get all that. Because there's always that person in the room, a non-believer, a skeptic, somebody who's been hurt, I don't know, who says all the church want is our money. That's it. And I think that there's a few bad apples out there in terms of, you know, churches who have, you know, prosperity gospel preaching churches or that have not handled money correctly, that give the collective national church of all denominations really a bad look and kind of lump us all together as this, you know, money hungry organizations, or that we're fake and all that. And I actually kind of thought that was always kind of in the back of my mind when I first started going to church, just from back in the 80s, hearing about Jim and Tammy Faye Baker and the, you know, the PTL club, right? Their evangelism network and how they used all this money for crazy. Like, it was like in the back of my mind. But we as the church, we can't be afraid to talk about money and talk about giving and talk about biblical tithing and what that means. And if we look back at Jesus's teachings, he talked about money quite a bit. So that's the first reason why I think the giving has declined. We don't talk about it enough. We don't have enough giving messages. Number two, reason why giving has declined, I think, is consumer culture. Now, I know a bunch of you have probably heard that term before, but do you really know what that means? Well, here it is. I looked it up. Consumer culture is a societal phenomenon where the acquisition and consumption of goods and services play a central role in shaping individual and collective identities, values, and behaviors. So that consumer culture teaches us to prioritize our comfort and things. You know, the luxuries or whatever we accumulate are actually more important than generosity and stewardship. Tithing, right? It's way more important than that. Number three, distrust of the church. This may cause, you know, some believers to give elsewhere or not at all, whatever. But this kind of goes back to what I said about the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker situation. People often don't trust the church. So then if they don't trust the church, maybe they decide, I can't give it to the church, but I'll give it to this nonprofit, or I'll give it to this other organization. So giving to hospitals and nonprofits with good causes, all that, those are good. You should keep doing that. But that's not tithing. I don't know, a lot of people think it is, or they justify that's what they're doing, but you're fooling yourself, really. I then ask this question: if you don't trust the church with your money, how you trust them with your soul? I mean, that's where you're going to get spiritually fed, isn't it? It seems like there's a conflict of interest there. It just seems a bit sketchy, right? So we have number one, lack of teaching and on giving in the church. Number two, we have the consumer culture. Number three, distrust of the church. Lastly, number four, we have irregular attendance and online engagement. If you don't attend, you don't feel the need to give, right? You're not connected to the church body. Like, if you just show up once in a while, you know, you see people maybe you know here and there, but you're not connected as this is a church family. This is not your home type of thing. Like, that's not going to make you want to give to something, right? And also, I find it interesting that the online people who just watch church, they rarely give. And it's because of that same feeling. You're not connected to anything. This is just a TV show. Like, I love watching certain TV shows, that doesn't mean I'm going to go send them money to make more episodes. Like, that's just not how it works. If you go to a church, you become a part of that culture. You become a part of the group of that body of believers, and you love one another and you trust one another. And then that's what makes you want to do things like give and tithe, which is what the Bible says we should do. But there is a bit of a silver lining, though, for some churches, not all of them. The church I go to is one of them, has a bit of a silver lining. That Vanco churchgoer giving study thing that I referenced earlier, it says mid-sized churches, you know, people from 300 to 500 attendees, have the highest percentage of reoccurring donors, and that is at 25%. That's a lot better than the 5% nationally, right? I think it is. And so I think the reason for that is likely it's a stronger relational connection or more accountability within the congregation. As mid-sized churches or congregations, they're large enough that the church can offer different programs, different ministries, but they're also small enough that they can maintain meaningful relationships and have that accountability, because it is all about the relationships, if we're being honest, right? Right. So by laying all these issues out, so we've come up with the four reasons why there's a decline in giving in the church. How do we address them as the Big C Church, you know, the church around the world? What do we need to do? What's the path forward, you may ask? Well, if we're going to reclaim the culture, because that's exactly what has to happen, we have to make an entire culture change, which is not easy, by the way, but it's possible. We're able to change the culture to generosity in our churches, we really just have to simply return to a biblical vision of giving and actively address that decline. So here's some... Well, more than some. There's several practical steps that are grounded in Scripture to inspire and encourage, you know, that faithful tithing can come back, right? Here we go. Number one, teach on giving without shame or fear. Pastors and church leaders should confidently teach what Scripture says about tithing and emphasize the heart of giving rather than just, you know, that gross legalism aspect. I even read, as I was doing some research, that some churches are also including giving regularly in discipleship classes, in small groups, on Bible studies, you know, and that's on top of their regular Sunday morning sermons, right? That's a big cultural change, I would think, at those churches. We have to remind believers that of God's promise in Malachi 3:10 and 2 Corinthians 9:8, that he blesses faithful stewardship and meets every need. Number two, we have to encourage reoccurring giving as a spiritual habit. Churches should make it simple for members to set up reoccurring giving, whether it's in person or online. I know we do here at Point North Church, and that's how my family gives, is by the reoccurring option on the Church Center app. And I would say I know that it's super easy to set up, but if I'm being honest, my wife did it. If I'm, you know, I'm just going to be transparent. I don't do any of the financial stuff, but I know it's easy because there's a lot of the senior adults at my church that set up, you know, the reoccurring giving, and they don't have any problems with it. And I'm just saying, sometimes I have to help them with other things, or I'm like, you know how to do this. So has to be pretty easy. As Paul instructed in Corinthians, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. That's 1 Corinthians 16:2. Here's something you should remember. This is a phrase that I got that is perfect. Regular, intentional giving cultivates discipline and faith. And here's also something you should know. If all the people who identify as Christians started regularly tithing, Health Research Funding published this. If every Christian tithed 10%, faith organizations would have an extra $139 billion each year. Now, just imagine what the church could do with that, is with those resources. It would be crazy, right? It'd be amazing. Number three, what we have to do to turn this culture around, build genuine community and trust. So the success of mid-sized churches, as I indicated in those studies earlier, and inspiring generosity points to the importance of, you know, relational ministry. People are more likely to give when they feel known, valued, and they feel connected. Churches should prioritize small groups, personal connections, and transparency when we're talking about how the funds are being used. You know, you can get stewardship reports and impact stories and help see what that giving is done, like see that giving in action. Number four, celebrate giving as worship. Making it part of the worship service is not just an announcement. I think we do a pretty good job of that here at my church. We don't just send somebody up on stage and say, here's the portion of service where we collect your money. Here's how you do it. No, all that. We offer prayers of thanksgiving. We share stories of, you know, lives changed through the generosity, goals we've met, the money that we've sent out to this mission or whatever. And we regularly remind the church that every dollar given is an act of, you know, kingdom building worship. And number five, something that we need to do more often that is the easiest thing to do, is pray for revival and generosity. Ultimately, giving flows from the heart. As Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's Matthew 6:21. Let's pray for a revival of generous hearts. Hearts captivated by the gospel, compelled by love, and committed to the mission of the church. I heard this a while ago, and I really like this. Tithing is not about what God wants from us, but what he wants for us. A life of trust, purpose, and eternal investment. So as I end this podcast, I just pray that we're the generation that answers God's call, brings the whole tithe into his storehouse, and experiences the overflow of his provision. Not just in money, but in changed lives, transformed communities, and that we get to see, you know, the eternal rewards. So I know it's a bit of a weird one we had here. You don't usually click on a podcast and get a giving tithing message or whatever like that, but hey, that's what we got today. So hope you have a good one. See you next week.